God has a dream for me. If I will let it be, God has a dream for me. If I only listen, listen, when God has a dream for me, it lets me be. If I open my heart, when old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and as I go my own way, God has a plan for me, a special design for me. God has a plan for me. If I only listen, listen, God shows His plan to me. Asks me if I'll agree, make His dream reality, being all I can be. When old dreams fade and die, and my heart cries why, oh why, God finds a new dream for me. If I open my heart, my mind, my hand, when life is dark and gray, and off the pathway I stray, God stays beside me each day as I go my own way. God stays beside me each day.
Yes, indeed, God does have a dream for you and a dream for me. The CD was performed by a Canadian duo, Off the Hook. Kevin and Cheryl did me the honor of making this recording of a song I wrote a few years ago. If you would like the copy of God Has a Dream for Me, just go to the website www.innergarden.com. Welcome to Inner Garden Online Chapel. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard, and I'd like to say that this is the day that God has given us. Let us rejoice and be glad that we are in it. Practicing Christianity and spiritualism allows us to embrace and serve an interdenominational congregation. Our mission is to help each and every one of you honor God in your own way by being everything that you can be. We want everyone to know that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. The name of the one God may differ, but a rose by any other name is still a rose, so God by any name is still the same God, a God of love, a source of life, through whom we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness with all of creation.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard with Inner Garden Online Chapel, and we're glad that you joined us again today. And as usual, we usually have an opening prayer and then a little lecture, and then we open our lines in the last half hour for you out there that would like either to have a complimentary reading or to share your spiritual journey with us and talk a little bit about how you got to where you are on the pathway to the one God. Okay, Heavenly Father, creator of the universe and all that is in it, we thank you for a wonderful day, an opportunity to join each other in a communion of spirit And let us remember that there are many people who are less fortunate than we are, and that we are sent here to help them in body, mind, and spirit. And we help shelter them. We help to feed them. We help to bring them compassion when they are in need of meeting challenges of any kind. We ask you to enter in the hearts of each of us, dear Lord, so that we may be all that you want us to be, and that we may realize that we are all from one family, and that whether it's spiritual family or whether it is the natal family, we need to acknowledge, validate, and appreciate each and every person for the gifts that they bring to the family. And most of all, I ask that you open my heart so that I can use all of those gifts that you have given me to be all that I can be in your name. Amen. Well, we are going to play for the address today a tape.
And you know, this is the glory of God, is to be happy within the Spirit. And the thing I would like to address today is oneness. And I'm going to do just a little bit of a reading out of a book called The Christ. And it is the principles of oneness, and the Lord God is one God. It is a statement of the principle of oneness, and all is one. According to this principle, all spiritual laws are present, and activity is ever expressed in being through the very principle, aspect, and statement of being. So saying that, what we're looking at is a little bit extension from what Martin was talking about the other day when he was up here, and that is that all religions, all people that have a concept of belief, an ethic, are all worshiping the same God. And so I like to say happy Hanukkah. I'd like to say Ramadan, the light, festival light, which is gone by, and our Christmas is coming up. And the one thing that does bother me a little bit is the fact that people are so sensitive about taking Christ as Christmas. Let's not say it's Christmas when we're advertising now, but for the Christmas reading. And that's too bad, because, you know, each person has their own belief system. And I think I've mentioned this before, that it doesn't matter if you get two Anglicans sitting side by side in a church, they perceive of the Anglican doctrine a little different way. And although in spiritualism, which is a philosophy, we don't claim to have a doctrine we allow people to have their own beliefs, and to be able to carry on, build blocks on what they already basically learned. At least that's what we're supposed to do. But sometimes we, as human beings, tend to think, well, I found the light, and I want everybody to find it up the same pathway that I found it. And so we go up, banging our tambourine, and say, you got to know it the way I know it, because I know the truth. And even in spiritualism, you'll get people that will say, well, I know the truth. I know that reincarnation is a fact. I was, you know, born again, and I'm going to do it again and again until I get it right. And in a way, I hope I got it right this time, because I came back as a Scorpio this time, and that ought to have done it really well. It's not in a fact, it's a fact. And a little bit like some of the other people, I think I have a little bit different idea of what I think it is. And I'd like to share a little bit of how I got to where I am in spiritualism. I was a very strong spiritual person. I was brought up in many homes. I'm blessed because I had six sets of parents. And every set of parents had different pathways to God. Some of them went up the Baptist pathway, and some of them went up the United Church pathway, and some went up the Roman Catholic Church pathway, and some of them didn't have a pathway at all. But however, I was fortunate that throughout the teachings that I still maintained a spiritual belief, because it didn't matter what doctrine was, it's like the church is within myself, my beliefs kick in here. But I still was brought up very much on the thunderbolt and lollipop God. Yeah. You know, if you're really good, you're going to get a lollipop. And if you're really bad, you're going to get a thunderbolt. And if you're going to go to hell and damnation for all the things that he did. And, you know, that was a very stressful kind of concept. When I was about 29 years old, I was sweeping the floor one day, and my husband will tell you, I have kind of a weird mind. If I cannot sing in mundane things, my mind has to drift into other things. So I'm sweeping the floor, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what if God is like Santa Claus? What if just when I'm dying on my last breath, they say to me, there ain't no God? What? There ain't no God? My goodness sake, what's going to happen to me now? You know? I'm really going to be in trouble if there ain't no God. And I really became very upset with this because what happened to me is that I thought, if this God that I've worshipped and I've believed in, that carried my father through the war, that I prayed to every night and I asked for help when I needed it, and it only seemed to be there, if there ain't no God, where am I at now? And I went through a terrible time of struggle. Now, anybody who knows a struggle, he's 29, means that I was getting a bathroom and turning and saying, what do you think would you like, Kate? Have you done anything with your life? You better start smarting up and start understanding some things. So anyway, I was very strong in Anglican, I was teaching Anglican Sunday school. And I didn't share this with my priest. But I wrestled with it. I don't even know that I even shared it with my family because I was trying to be the kind of leadership in the family that went to church every Sunday, that we kept the spiritual thing there for the children, we had ethics. And I thought, how am I going to settle it? And we came upon an accident one evening. And during this accident, I jumped out of the car. There were two cars and had a head-on collision. And the young man that had come across the road and passed the car ahead of us, I have no medical training, by the way, but I don't know why I jumped out of the car and I'm going to go and help. And all I could say to them is just don't drag him out of the car. If it's not burning, just don't drag him out. Leave him alone. He may do more harm than good. The hell is somebody please get an ambulance. It was raining and this young man was quite in distress. So I knelt beside him and thought, well, I recognize him as a sports figure from New Westminster. I don't know the man, but I do know his name. So I spoke to him softly, and I talked to him, and he became very upset that he was bleeding. I said, no, no, you're not bleeding. Just touch my hand. And at that, I placed my hand on his chest, up where his hand was, and placed my hand. I had to feel my hand is wet, it's rent. You're not bleeding. It's okay. They're coming. They're going to help you. A few minutes later, I had an impression that I knew nothing about healing as far as being a channel. I had this impression in my mind to place my hand across his forehead to put his hair back and with my hand on his chest. The movement created an energy that was the highest feeling of love that I've ever felt my whole life. And the healers that are working in the back of the church can probably associate with this. But I had never felt such a surge of energy come through my body. Now, I could read healing from the time I was about 17, but I didn't know why I could read them. I didn't know what it meant. But in this experience, this energy came through my body, and it was just absolutely unbelievable. Now, people would talk to this gentleman, and they wouldn't get any answer. I would repeat the question, and he would answer me. So I stayed with him and allowed this energy to flow through both of us. And I was very concerned for this man. The ambulance drivers arrived, and they asked him a question. He wouldn't answer. I would repeat the question. He would answer it. So I stayed until they didn't need me anymore. They got him in the ambulance and away he went. But for 2 days I walked on this high energy flight that I couldn't explain. So I went to my priest and I said, what is this that happened? He said, you were praying. Oh, hallelujah, I was praying. Who wouldn't be praying? That would be just a common thing that you would do, is to send up a prayer for this young man who's laying beside the roadstead. So I do the God that you believe in and say, please help this young man. But there was something more than prayer here. Something more worked than prayer that my priest did not ask of me. Now, many years later, I found out Daniel's church does depend on healing, by the way. And it's been done for years and years and years. But it isn't a common known thing in the African church. It's not something you should speak of. But however, instead of explaining that to me and saying, well, what happened is that you had the healing of God come through your body, you did this person. Well, I start to search between this question of where is this lollipop God that is just slightly bigger than my dad with the long beard on the mountaintop here, that gives thunderbolts and lollipops? Is this the God I believe in, or what is this energy? And then the process of this, I went down the science line looking for answers. What is this? Because the priest did not give me an answer. And after just going back to school and studying biology, things started to open up in my brain. That there is a legitimate reason scientifically why this energy can be channeled through me and help to heal the person who is receiving it. But still, I had not got all my answers, and then I went into mediumship and studied with a medium at King Cave and Bernie the First Church. And through that, as we met Gloria, we went along and we learned together as we grew up in spirit. But the point of this is, it's all in God. It's not a lollipop, flexible God that's sitting on a mountaintop somewhere judging me. But it is a Christ within me, or an energy within me, that is the very life source that's inside me. And it's in you, and it's in the people who worship at the mosque, it's in the people who are worshiping at the temple. It's in every human being. And by what pathway we can take to get there, we are less settled at the bottom of the pyramid. And God is the very top pebble. And as long as all of us here are reaching for the highest and the best of ourselves, so the Christ within, the light within, the Ramadan within, whatever name you want to put on that ultimate power, it is still God in our language, because that's what we were taught. And I don't want to take that away from them. I learned that God had given us a human being who walked upon the earth, manifested his energy through that human being in the highest form, and that was Jesus, and that's the pathway that I followed. And that's okay. I can still be, as Martin was saying, a Christian spiritual. And there isn't anybody that's going to be faulty for that, because that's the way I learned, and that's the way I grew. I can also be a scientific spiritualist, and nobody's going to fault me for that, because I am going to go the pathway that I need to go. But what they are going to fault me for, and what I'm going to be judged for in the end, is the life that I live. What did I do with that life once I found it? Did I hide it? Did I reject it? Or did I try to be a light, a small light in the world, to try to come out there and give my love to everyone and let them have their own life and let the light together make a bigger light? So I do not have to justify the belief system that I have. When I'm teaching, I teach a number of different aspects of what incarnation might be. Now, people who know me really well probably know which one I believe. However, I don't know for sure. When I came through here, you know what? God didn't give me any guarantee the world was going to be fair. And he also didn't give me a little secret thing in my pocket that said, this is all the answers, Barbara. I do the very best that I can, and I ask you that you do the very best that you can. And in this season, that many people with many belief systems, with many different ethical levels of understanding, that you give them the right to have their pathway, and if you want them to look at your pathway and to really believe that your pathway is good, then be the best one to be the best person that you can be the happiest person that you can be. So that the person that's watching you is going to say, I want whatever she's on. Right? I want what she's on. She's always up to me. She's always happy. She's joyous. The God she follows, the path she follows, to her God, must be a joyous, loving God. Because you never hear a negative comment come out of her mouth. Well, hardly ever. Because I'm human, I do make mistakes. But you know, there are errors of judgment we learn from those. So I'd ask you today to be blessed through this wonderful season of today. And it doesn't matter which of the doctrines that you follow or you have no doctrine, but we all have an ethical standard that we define, that point of balance that will make us feel all kinds of wrong. And so we are our own best defenders. We are our own place to get.
Well, thank you for joining us and listening to that. I apologize again for a little static that was on the tape. There was a problem with the microphone that we were using, and we did not weren't able to adjust that. But I did appreciate you listening to that. We're going to continue on with the program, talking a little bit about the one God and different ways that you can express the talents and the abilities that God has given to you. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you the phone numbers, because starting now, if you'd like to call in and share with us, in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. This is toll-free, 877-876-5227. In Canada, the toll-free number is 888-810-8322. And an international line for those that are out of the area of the States in Canada is 530-876-3222. And please call in and share whatever you have with the people that are listening in, because we have a great audience that comes from BBS Radio, and we have this opportunity to bring this to you every Sunday, and it is through BBS Radio that we do get this opportunity, and there aren't a lot of places out there that will allow us to bring this kind of understanding and this kind of spiritual word via the airwaves. Now, I had an interesting week. Last night, we went to see Randy Travis, who was performing in Coquitlam, which is just on the outskirts of New Westminster, British Columbia, and Vancouver, Coquitlam, all those areas just kind of go from one to the other like they do in the big cities now. And we had the pleasure of listening to him use the talent and the abilities that God has given him. And he expressed that beautifully through some of the songs that he has written and co-written with the people from his band. He has a band that has been, most of them have been with him for a really long time, so obviously they have a great deal of fellowship together and understanding on the same line, and that they are able to express quality music for the people that are watching and uplift their lives. And so they're doing a ministry out there, whether they really save it, the ministry. But I found it very interesting, one part of it. There was a not just one gospel song or one spiritual song, but he had a whole segment, a whole set that he did to do with spiritual uplifting songs. And I have seen him also on Dr. Shuler's program, and he's an absolutely marvelous young man. He told a little bit of stories about that he started out not always being such a sweet person, and he really had us laughing at that. But it goes to show you that in the beginning, sometimes these trials and tribulations that we go through, fighting our way to our adulthood, we bring our talents along. It helps us open up those doors, because God gives us this information that we need within ourselves. The interesting thing is the one God. It doesn't matter whether you're coming from a scientific or a musical start. you're still reaching to that highest and best God, and you can worship in a temple, you can worship in the synagogue, you can worship in the churches of your choice. And we find that very many people are really enjoying the positive uplifting that we're having on the programs from the One God theory. The other thing that I had happen, it was really interesting this week, I was invited by the International Spiritualist Alliance to serve at their mini-fair. Now, what that basically is that people are booking time to come in and work with the medium, to sit and listen to the medium or the psychic medium and project for that person things that are coming through them that is pertinent to that particular person who's sitting with them. And I had some very interesting people sitting there, and it was kind of everything from sitting there and giving them help to give them some idea of what direction that there were options on their pathway, to in actual fact having a lady sit there who lost a small child and her heart was breaking, and she just wanted an assurance that there was another life still for her, that she could be able to go on after the loss of the child. So I sat with her, and the young girl came through. First, her father came through, actually, and talked about the mother. And then the grandfather brought the little girl through and was showing us her running in the open field, picking beautiful flowers and bringing them back to her grandfather in a bouquet. And the little girl impressed me with the fact that if her mother will just quietly sit and listen to the energies that are going on around her, she will notice that from time to time she feels a small tug on the bottom of her shirt or her apron or whatever. And that is the young girl being there. The young girl also brought a beautiful bouquet of wildflowers that were white and mauve, which actually are very highly spiritually evolved colors. And she was bringing these to her mother so that her mother would be able to have the peace and the contentment. And the mother went out of there feeling a whole lot better. And we did get a few options for her where she can spend that energy, that loving energy that she had interrupted, as she felt no longer able to give of that motherly energy to this child. Now, in the process of that, I explained to her, you know, there are a lot of people in this world, children for sure, that we could go anywhere in the world and find that there are children that are hungry, children that are in need. And so we can kind of take that attitude that we're all part of that family that God has given us, and that we will try to feed and shelter these children that do not have mothers and fathers to protect them. But even closer than that, at home, there are people, there are young children that are not basically getting all that they need, and there can be working with young people's groups that she could go in and work with guiding, go in and work with the scouting movement. She could go and work with the cadets that we in Canada have, air cadets and sea cadets. There's any number of things that she could take her talent to and use all that energy and all the beautiful things that God gave her that she wants to express to her child. She could use that in a very positive way now. And I explained to her that, yes, for the rest of her life, she's going to feel a small part in her heart that when she thinks of that child, there's a little emotion that's going to bubble up there. But to honor the child in the best way that she can honor that child is to go and make something of the life that she has left in that child's name. And then all of a sudden I said, well, I'm being told by your daughter that there was a plaque or there was some kind of thing that you wanted dedicated to her, and you've been thinking about doing it, but you haven't done it. She said, yes, that's true, that she had thought about putting a plaque in a particular spot. And I said, well, she's saying, go ahead and do that, because not will I be in whether it be a graveyard or whether it be at a bench in a park. Not will I be there all the time, but when you go there and you read that plaque, Mom, I will move in close to you. And I shared with her that a very dear friend of ours lost their son, and not in such a young age. He was a mature adult that was not at the age that you would expect to have passed away. And you don't usually expect your children to go ahead of you. This is a very difficult thing, and it's something that a lot of us need help with. So I shared with her about these friends, and they have a bench in one of the parks here. And on the bench, they have a dedication to their son and a nice little poem about that reflects his life. And it's a very great place to be because there's a duck pond ahead of it. And if you sit there, you can kind of meditate and relax. And they take a bouquet of flowers with them to the park, and they go and they sit on the bench. And this isn't something they do all the time, but on special occasions like his birthday or the anniversary of his passing. And they, maybe even on their own anniversary or their own birthday, and they want to share that with the son that has gone ahead of them. So what they do is they take this bouquet of flowers, and they sit there, and they just meditate, and they think about him, and his spirit moves in around them. And they can feel his closeness as they move along. And when they have finished their quiet time and their meditation and have had their conversation with their son and thanking God for looking after him in spirit, they place the flowers on the bench and they walk away. And it's rather humorous because the mom said to me, she said, we know that as soon as we're out of sight and the first people that come by are going to take that bouquet of flowers that is sitting on the bench and take it home with them. But we also know that our Jim would be very pleased to see them pick it up. And he probably stays there and waits and impresses the person, do take the flowers because I'd like you to enjoy this beautiful gift that my mom and dad have brought to me. So I found that really quite interesting that God has given us as ministers, as mediums, the ability to be able to say those few words sometimes when people are in stress. Now, it doesn't have to be the loss of a person. It can be a loss of finance. It can be any kind of feeling that you're feeling lost, just lose your way. As I said, at 29 years old, all of a sudden I had a spiritual wrestle with myself because the God, the lollipop and thunderbolt God that I had worshipped all those years took a little bit of a growth, shall we say, and became greater than just a person, just slightly bigger and more intelligent than my father. And it was sitting on some kind of a mountain somewhere, which is a concept that we have as young people, where he's sitting off in heaven that's above the mountain somewhere. And when I was 29 years old and went through this wrestling situation and spiritually had to wrestle with the fact that this thought crossed my mind that maybe, just maybe, God is something that people are using to keep you good. And that maybe, just maybe, that when you're dying, somebody's going to whisper in your ear and say, Barbara, there is no God. And that was a devastating time for me. It was a loss to me of the faith and the strength that I'd had for so many years. And it really went through a tremendous time of feeling lost and feeling as if I didn't know where I should go next. And looking and asking questions and reading and doing everything I could to explore what was going on here. Now, fortunately for me, when I went back to school and took biology and it kind of clicked in with the matter and the energy thing, and that we are in the likeness of God, in the energy, that we are a spark of the universe, part of the universe of God, and that energy goes in the physical manifestation that we carry around, like our little ship that houses our spirit. And at that point, I realized that God was greater and more wonderful than what we had known previously. And yet, it's not to throw the baby out with the bathwater. All of the things that I've learned over the years at the different churches that I went to the Roman Catholic Church when I lived with my one aunt. I went to the United Church as a youngster, went to the United Church. My NATO parents have been practicing in the United Church. I went to the Baptist Church when I had a girlfriend who wanted to join a choir there and asked me to join with her. In those days, thank God, I had a little better singing voice because now I sing like Minnie Pearl and it kind of in the cracks. So I did have a little better singing voice, and we used to sing in the choir together, and we met a lot of wonderful people. There was a lot of guidance from the minister there. He had a tremendous way with the young people. We had a young people's group there that really interacted with one another. So each person that has come into my life, as in your life, has come in to bring part of God to me. And then as an adult, I went into the Anglican Church and became confirmed Anglican, taught Sunday school there, as I said, and really felt that I had found my home spiritually, where I could get my spiritual food each week. And so you can understand that that is quite a spiritual loss when all of a sudden you start doubting that there is something in control up there, that there's something that is greater than yourself that you can go to when you're in need. Now, at the present time, we have a young niece that's very ill, and it's not fair. And as I said on the tape, nobody gave me a guarantee when I came here, or anybody else, a guarantee that we would be able to have things fair in our life. So we have to accept what we can't change, and unfortunately she's very ill. But what we can do is we can gather together all of her friends, all of her family, all of the churches that all of us belong to, and send prayer of intercession that the healing will come through her body and assist with the medical profession with what they need to do, so that her life will be spared and that she will be given the quality of life and be able to continue on with those things that she wants to do. And none of us are willing at this point to give up on that, because the healing is a miracle. Sometimes a miracle just happens in that healing, that we look at it as ministers, we look at it as healers that are using that energy coming through us, and we look at the healings that have happened, and we're amazed at what has happened in God's beautiful world here, and how healed people are, and how the right doctors are brought in sometimes at the right time. And so if you out there happen to be in a great deal of stress, then know that you will be put in touch with the right people at the right time that can help you. If you open your hand, you open your mind, and you open your heart to the fact that there is a possibility out there of things being healed, whether that be an emotional scar that's on your heart, whether that be a physical manifestation of a disease that's in the body, whether it be a relationship that maybe has gone awry and you don't know how you're going to make it on your own. There is help out there. You never have to be alone. There is always a new idea waiting to be born. God just will give you ideas of how to make things work for you. And there's always a friend waiting around the corner to come into your inner circle. So you really never have to be alone. Now, I'm going to give you these numbers again, and I'm hoping that some of you that are out there will maybe call in and share in the last few minutes here with us some of the miracles maybe that have happened in your life. And so in the United States, that's 1-877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-810-8322. Canada, 888 888-810-8322. Last week, we had a number of callers that called in and did share with us and did ask about whether or not they could get a complimentary reading. And I also must mention Nancy, who is a great friend of BBS Radio. She has called me a couple of times. I've had emails from her, and I enjoy them immensely. I did have a really busy week this week, and I did not get to really do in-depth an answer on the email, and I will get back to you this coming week. And if you're out there, do give us a call, and we love to hear from you. The other thing that I am really thankful for with these callers, they come from all over the United States and Canada, and we have had calls from many areas. And so I know there are some of you out there that are listening to what we have to say. And I'm going to share with you something good that's happening for us. We're going to have now a land-based church that is going to be held at 8:30 in the morning, called a breakfast service, which means we break our fast from the evening. So, in case the people don't understand what a breakfast service or breakfast service means. Okay, so at that point, we're going to share in some food and some beverage, refreshment to refresh our spirit and refresh our body and our minds and get us awake. And then we're going to be spoken to by a different group of people or a different person every week to share a little bit about what their talents and abilities are. And our first one that we're going to be doing is on the 15th of April. And when we do this, we're going to videotape it, and we're also going to have that portion of the lecture that this person will be giving. And this man's name is Ted Koontz, and he is a master of education, is a psychologist for the past 25 or 30 years. He also teaches at the colleges from time to time. I don't believe he is teaching right now, but he has taught for a number of years at our local colleges on the psychology courses. And he also has written a fantastic book. So any of you out there that may be struggling with things right now, write this book down. Peace Begins With Me. And his website is easy because the name of the book, peacebeginswithme.com, is his website. And you will be able to go on there and hear Ted's, a little condensed version of Ted's story. And he's going to share that with us on the 15th of April. Now, what I'm going to do is we're going to take that segment of his talk and we're going to put it on the BBS radio so that you guys can hear what he has to say about how when he was in the deepest depth of depression over things that were happening in his life, how simple it was for him to turn that around by looking to the peace from within himself and then looking then to without of himself. And they will find that he is a very interesting person. We had him at our conference a year ago, April. So that'll be a year ago this coming month. And at the conference, we had four keynote speakers that were speaking at different times, and they all were received well. Everybody said, oh my goodness, this has been absolutely great conference. We had a big luncheon in the middle of it. And we just had spiritual sharing. It was just a great place to be. And I do wish that all of you guys could join us and we could bring all of you to a conference and do the same thing again. But Ted alone was worth the cost of the whole conference. People were just absolutely couldn't quit talking about what a tremendous speaker he is and how when they came away from there, not only were they uplifted, but they realized the simplicity of what it is to just let the peace from within, energy comes through them, and let that peace within themselves start to heal themselves and start giving them ideas and things to go forward. And learning to accept, which is like the serenity prayer, those things that we cannot change and change the things that we can and having the wisdom to know the difference. Most of the speakers that I have had the pleasure of listening to and I speak in the same way myself, is when you are trying to make your life better, is to be able to sort that out, to accept those things that you can't change, which you can't change a second of the past. Even God can't change that, but you can use that effectively and change what you can by using a positive aspect from whatever happened there, bring it forward, use it as a tool towards your future, and then have the wisdom to know the difference so that you don't, basically, if a farmer was to go back in his field from last year and look at the old empty corn stalks and say, listen, corn stalk, you didn't give me enough corn. Or listen, corn stalk, I wish you had been a different type of vegetable. It really would prove nothing. The corn stalk has brought what it's supposed to bring and is now standing in the field empty, and it is a shell of what it was. And nothing more can come from that. But we can say thank you for what was brought to us. And maybe it wasn't exactly what we would have written in our script. We can learn what we needed to learn from that, and then we can go forward with it. And so this is what really spiritual development's all about, being in tune with God, being in tune with your own self, and taking that personal responsibility to say, yes, I can't just sit here and pray all day over the broccoli and say, well, I wish you were peace. Because all the wishing and all the praying in the world will not change something that has already happened. So I need to then say, well, if I really want to have peas, I really enjoy pea soup, or I really enjoy being able to use peas as a vegetable, then I better start planting that. I better start understanding my need to bring that into my life. The other thing is the gratitude. Gratitude thing, and we really need to recognize that we say thank you for everything in our life. From the time we get up in the morning, thank you, God, I've got a new day. I wasn't in the obituary this morning, and obviously neither were you guys, because you're listening to me, and if you were in spirit, you'd be coming in behind me instead of listening on the airway. So you need to take a look at being thankful each day for everything that happens. Thankful for being able to get out of bed. Even if I do have a restriction in my life, thank for what I have and not for what I don't have. If we spend too much time concentrating on all those things that we don't have in our life, we don't really appreciate those things that we do have in our life. And I was listening for just a couple of minutes to Michael, who comes on ahead of me. And I have to apologize because I'm getting ready for my own program, and it's Sunday morning, and it's even going to get busier when we get this new program going. But I was listening to Michael, and he was basically saying the same thing as that I'm saying, that we have to kind of go through difficult times sometimes to be able to sort out in our life what we need to have and where we need to go. And so those things come, and then we can appreciate the miracle of what comes into our life. If we could just all stay inside our comfort zone and all of us just say, oh, well, I'm just going to sit here and everything's going to come to me on my table, I'm going to be fed and clothed, and all the rest of it, I don't think we would have the appreciation. We would not certainly have the motivation to get out there and do things that we do in our life. And so we have to take a look at that and realize that sometimes when we go through the toughest times in our life, those are times when we're giving the tools to be able to go and really create a future for ourselves that is absolutely fantastic. Now, I was talking a little bit about a lady that I did a reading for, and there is none of us in that would ever wish that any person would need to give up their life to make somebody appreciate what's going on. So what we need to really look at then is that we appreciate everybody while they're here. that we validate everybody that while we're here. I call it the Abba. I acknowledge you, which is the A. I validate you are a meaningful person in my life. And I appreciate you. And that every day when I get up, I do the Abba. I am thanking God that I'm awake, that I have a new day, that I have the opportunity to make that the very best day that I can. Everybody I come in contact with, I can be trying to the very best of myself to bring to them that energy that is coming through me from God, that I will light a pathway for them if possible. Now, I do find that a lot of times I feel like I'm talking to myself here. So I do thank those people out there that are listening. I want to remind the people that are living in the area of the Lower Mainland, and even if some of you from Washington State, which we aren't that far away from you, chose to come over on a Sunday morning, get up really early. Now, some of us do that on a Sunday morning, and come across the line starting on the 15th April, and come to our Sunday breakfast service, which is 8:30 to 9:30, and it's at the ABC Country Restaurant at 8080 120th Street, which is known as Scott Road as well in Surrey. And we will have very inspirational speakers that will be on week to week. We'll also have medium demonstrations from the mediums that are going to be there. So there'll be mediumship demonstrations, as there are in most spiritualist churches. And we are going to be celebrating the one God. So we are interdenominational. Everybody can come and join us there. And then they can go to the chapel or the church or the temple or the synagogue of their choice. And they can worship in their own way and find their own way to that one God that is there at the very top. Because indeed it is one God, and it is a God of love, a God of energy, and certainly not that lollipop Thunderbolt God that we thought about when we were young people, and that we are punished for our thoughts and things of that nature. We are punishing ourselves when we do something that we know within ourselves is a wrong thing to do. So until such time as we know better, and then we do better, if we continue to fall back into the old way where we know better, then that is when we're creating errors of judgment that are detrimental to our own benefit of growth. I'd like you to also remember that there are food banks out there that are needing people to come out and donate occasionally. There are the thrift shops that are helping people to have articles of clothing and toys and things for their families. And we would ask that you would go to these places and take those things that you no longer need, your blankets, your sheets, your clothes that you have grown out of, the toys that the children no longer use that are kind of laying around the room and they don't really need as many of that, because every time Christmas comes, Grandma and Grandpa and aunts and uncles and Mom and Dad fill the tree up with all these toys, and so we don't really need to have the toys that they outgrow there. So please think about donating those things to people that aren't as fortunate as what we are. And remember that when you walk past a person who is in need, at least give them a smile and a good word and a helping hand in the best way that you can. And there is always on the news, pretty near every week, some family or some person that has suffered. And so sometimes just a kind word, a postcard, whatever, would be all that they need to uplift them. I'd like to close by saying the prayer for a healing. And Heavenly Father, Creator of the universe, please allow your healing energy to be drawn through all of those that are in need of healing in body, mind, or spirit. We know that our own attitudes influence everything in our lives, and we ask that you help us maintain a positive and open attitude to the healing power of your love. Help us, dear God, to send healing and understanding to our leaders of the nations, that we may influence them to make decisions that are best for our planet and for our educators and our ministers. Have them bring the much-needed ethical and spiritual thinking back to our youth, who are the leaders of tomorrow. As we close, let us be tolerant of others and their beliefs. May we start our own lives to be all that we can be in the glory of your name, O God. Amen. We'd like to thank once more bbsradio.com for allowing us to have this time. You may email bbsradio and have comments go to them, and they will put it up on the scroll for you so you can see how much people are enjoying the programs that are on there. Whichever program you're watching, let them know that you're enjoying that so that they will keep it going. And also you can reach us at www.innergarden.com and do email me, barb@innergarden.com, and just put on there chapel or healing, whatever you like in this subject, so that I know it's not just junk mail coming through, because unfortunately, you know, there's a positive and negative side to everything, and the junk mail is the negative side, I guess. Well, no, I guess actually it's not. It's getting some people some living somewhere, and a few people are responding to the junk mail, I imagine, and that is their choice. So do send it to us, and we want you to realize that we are sending blessings, sending angels with you, that you may celebrate God in your own way by attending the church, chapel, temple, synagogue of your choice, and also take just a little time every day to meditate in God's chapel in your own sanctuary with him. This is Reverend Barbara Leonard thanking you for joining us, and this is Intergarden Online Chapel, and tune in next week and get prepared to give us a couple of phone calls. Thank you again. God bless.